We are going to try to play dodgeball later, so I'm going to try to get through this so that you have time to play dodgeball tonight. But I need your attention. I need you to work with me so we can get this, because this is super important, all right? And what we're going through tonight, we're still in our series that we start fires. And so we've been talking about how Paul is telling Timothy, hey, go fan this awesome flame that the Holy Spirit has put in you, fan that gift that God has given you, and let that fire rage. Get some passion for Jesus, get out there and use what he's given you to share Christ with the world. And so we're talking about, hey, that's what we should be doing. As believers in Jesus, you and I should be starting some fires, and we should be fanning that flame in us because God's given that to you. Now, when I was, this was a few years back, but I was working on this like piece of furniture. I like to work on wood. I'm a woodworker. So I was building a table, and it was like going to be my masterpiece. I loved this table. It was going to have like, I finished it. So it does have like bark all the way like around the edges of the table. And it's like one of those like really rustic looking cool things. So I'm really like excited about building this table from this tree that I had like, we cut down ourselves and we brought it to the mill and we milled it ourselves, and like the whole deal from scratch. It was standing as a tree and now it is sitting in our cabin. And so as I'm working on this, I'm still kind of learning about some stuff about woodworking. And I had a cup kind of like this one. It's a styrofoam cup. And I had this stuff called acetone in the cup. And acetone's kind of like this denatured alcohol. It's this stuff that you use to like clean wood or get paint off of things. If you wanted this paint off, you'd use it. It would like take that paint right off if you rubbed it. And so I got my cup full of acetone. I got my rag and I'm working on the table. And next to me is this other piece of furniture that was like freshly painted. And it's just kind of sitting there looking good. And I had my cup of acetone and I set it down there and I'm working on the table. And I'm doing my thing and I'm like, all right, it's hot out here. I'm going to take a break, get a drink, walk away. Come back a little bit later, a couple hours later, to find that you cannot put acetone in a styrofoam cup. And so what it does is it sits in there, and the longer it sits, it starts to eat away at all this styrofoam until finally, poof. So it turns into this, like, I come back to this just pile of mushy, white, plasticky stuff that is just melted onto this freshly painted piece of furniture I had just done. And so one thing that I learned that day was that as that thing sat in the cup, like outside of the cup, it was fine. It did its thing, right? It was powerful. It was strong stuff. But when that strong stuff was sitting in this cup, the longer it sat, the more it couldn't be held by the cup anymore. The more it just ate its way through it and started to just like set itself free. And I'm thinking about what this Holy Spirit does to us, God's Holy Spirit, and this gift he's given us. Paul keeps saying how powerful it is. It's like the super powerful thing that if we just trust God to do it, it can't be contained. And so as you believe in Jesus and you're like, God, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I believe that you're going to work in me. I want your Holy Spirit to help me talk to my friends at school about you and talk to people on my sports teams. And I want to go home to my house and I want to share the good news of Jesus with my family. And you're trusting him, right? And this gift is sitting in you and the Holy Spirit is in you. It's kind of like you're this cup. And the longer that you are walking with Jesus and you're abiding in him and he's in you, like this thing that's holding you back from the world, this thing that's keeping you from having those conversations, that's holding that power of God inside of you, just gets eroded away because Jesus is just too powerful. It's that gospel sits in you. It starts to eat away at your shame. It eats away at your embarrassment about sharing your faith. It eats away at the doubts that are holding you back. And all these things that are containing that power of God in you, it starts to eat away at it the more you spend time with Jesus and he's in you because he's powerful. And so tonight, as we're reading this next part of our passage in 2 Timothy 1 that we're talking about, that's where Paul's at. And here's what he's trying to tell us, that the gospel, the good news as you share it, it changes you. And so we're talking about making changes tonight. So we're not just saying, hey, you guys go out and share the gospel. Go tell people about Jesus. And they're just expecting you to go do it. We're spending 6 weeks right now in this series, We Start Fires, because we want to help you see the power that's inside of you. We're not going to give you some cookie cutter like sheet that you can memorize and walk out there and like, we're not doing that. What we're going to say is listen to God's voice. Hear what God's telling you. Who's God telling you to speak to? Who's he putting on your heart? What friend is it that he's like, hey, go talk to them? We want you to hear his voice and listen to him, but then we want you to do this. Say, yes, God, I'm going to do this. I want you to obey. I want you to say, God, if you're telling me to go talk to them, I'm scared right now. I'm a little embarrassed. I don't even know really what I'm going to say. But I'm willing to say yes to you. You know what that is? It's called faith. You're taking a step of faith because it's scary and you're just not sure. But God's like, I'm strong enough. I can do this through you. I'm inside of you. I'm sitting in you. And this power can't be contained if you'll just trust me. And he wants to eat away at your doubt and your shame and your embarrassment and all that stuff and just come out. And wow. Imagine what you will see when God, his power is released through you. It's not anything you could do on your own. So you can't even imagine it because you've never done it before. You've never seen it before. Never thought of it before. God's going to do stuff that you can't even imagine because it's his power. And how cool it's going to be when you actually get to see it. When you say yes, you listen to God's voice and you're like, sure, God, you're telling me to talk to them. Yeah, I'll do it, but you got to be with me. You got to help me. It's got to be your power through me to do this. So as the gospel sits in you, it changes you. If it's truly in you, if you truly do believe in Jesus Christ, you will change. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't go inside of you and save you and then be like, all right, you just stay the same for the rest of your life. Just keep going on. No, he's all about changing you. He wants to transform you to look like Jesus more every single day. So the longer the Holy Spirit is in you and that power of God is in you, the more he changes you to look like him. And if you want to do that, you know what you do? You say yes when he speaks to you. Every time. Every time God gives you, Holy Spirit convicts your heart and you feel that, you know that, and he's speaking to you, instead of just blowing it off and ignoring it, you say yes. And when you say yes, you take that step and it grows. And that fire grows inside of you and you start to fan that flame within you. So we're going to start some fires. So here's what I want you to do, because I know you guys have been having awesome conversations. Somebody got saved this Sunday, which is awesome because one of you guys decided to share your faith with them. That's awesome. We'll hear more about that later. Like, cool things are happening because God's at work and he deserves to be praised for that. And so here's what I wanted to ask you guys to do. As you're having these conversations, as you're putting on your shirt, as you're going out there sharing your faith and God does something or you get to talk to somebody, will you like DM us on Instagram or email us at Firehouse, go to the website. It's firehouse.fpcmi.com. Go on there and send us a little email. We want to hear about what's going on. We want to be able to celebrate that and be able to be like, hey, we got to give God glory this week. There was this really cool thing he did. All right? So don't leave us in the dark. Make sure you're sharing that with us. And if you don't know how to do all that technology stuff, tell your life group leader each week so they can report it to us and we can celebrate what God is doing. You know, it's one thing if he does it, but if we just keep it quiet and sit around like not talking about it, like we're stealing some praise from the Lord. He wants us to glorify him and worship for him for what he's doing. So share it. Let's celebrate it together. All right. So open with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're in verses just 11 and 12 tonight. And it says this: for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Here's Paul talking, right? He's writing this letter to young Timothy in charge of this church of like older people that are giving him a hard time. And he's like, what do I do, Paul? And so Paul writes him this encouraging letter. And he's reminding him as he's walking through this, what it means to follow Jesus. And here we get to this point where Paul turns to himself and he shares a little testimony with Timothy. He's like talking about himself. He says, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher. Now, that's a big deal. It might not seem like it here, but if you know anything about the apostle Paul, this is a big deal. Because the dude persecuted Christians. He went out and he would have Christians grabbed off the streets and put in jail or beat or stoned. And he was the guy in charge of that. And now he's saying this: for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. Like, whoa, that's a change. You go from killing Christians to planting churches all over the continent of Asia. Paul was probably the greatest church planter who's ever lived. How did that happen? The gospel changed him. Like, it should change you. As you're living in the power of Jesus, it should change you. It should transform you. you should start to look more like Jesus. You might not have this crazy conversion like Paul to that extent where you're like, you were killing Christians and now you're out like planting churches, but there's the same power that's alive inside of you. And the same death that you had was the same death Paul had, and you're being brought back to life, like literally resurrected when you believe on Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is, right? You die to your sin and you're resurrected to new life in Jesus. That's a miracle. That's powerful. That's a huge change. Your whole life is changing as you believe on Christ, and he's going to keep changing you more and more as he sits inside of you, as he lives through you, and as you trust in him. And so we're looking at Paul going, how could you even say those words, bro? You become a preacher? You become an apostle, which means like a church planter, and a teacher teaching people about Jesus, the same one you told people not to talk about, or you'd put him in jail? So look at yourself. Do you see yourself changing as you're walking with Jesus? Do you see some differences happening inside of you, some transformation? Do you notice that you are starting to die to the things of this world and to sin and all that stuff, and you're starting to want Jesus more and want to look more like him and serve him? You're getting more excited about people accepting Christ, sharing your faith, things that are going on at church and serving people. Is there a change happening in you? Are you being transformed into the image of Christ? Paul had this crazy, awesome transformation, but each of us have the same story if we just follow Christ. And here's the deal. The gospel is the reason in and of itself for us to share it with other people. We don't need another reason besides just the fact that it is good news. There's no payoff necessarily that we're looking for. There's no pat on the back. There's no glory involved other than the glory of God. But for us, the gospel is such good news in and of itself. It's worth sharing with other people. Do you believe that? Do you believe the fact that you get to live forever in heaven in God's presence? Do you think that's good news? That you're not going to have to spend eternity in hell in punishment? But instead, Jesus died for you and rose again to new life so you could go to heaven. That is incredible news. Is it good enough news all by itself to be worthy of you sharing it with other people? If it's not, will you spend some time just thinking about what Jesus has actually done for you? Just consider it. Sit and just let it roll around in your mind and think about what he's given. God's sacrifice for you. And let it make your heart grateful. Let it become good news in your heart that you can't help but tell other people about. So Paul says that, and then he goes like this. He says, which is why I suffer as I do, because it's such good news. Because he was called to be a pastor and a preacher and apostle, and this gospel has changed his life, he's able to suffer as he does. Do you know some of Paul's story of his suffering? You see, after Paul left persecuting Christians and became a church planter himself, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was hungry. All of these things happened to Paul, like unbelievable suffering in his life, all because he decided he wanted to follow Jesus. All because one day Jesus showed up and was so powerful and the news was so good that he's like, I can't keep my mouth shut. My life is going to change 180 degrees and I'll suffer if I have to suffer, but I'm not going to stop talking about Jesus. Someone else can be the one who comes up to me and persecutes me now. Take my place. Let's switch roles, because I know for a fact that this is worth suffering for. It's worth sacrificing everything for. So here's what the gospel does. Are you ready for this? If you're taking notes, write this down. The gospel gives courage. Here, that's one way the gospel changes you. We're talking about making changes. What it did for Paul, it gave him courage to know that no matter what comes, what circumstance or suffering or sacrifice, he had the courage to say, this is worth it. The gospel itself is such good news. It makes it worth it. It gives you the courage to have that scary conversation. It gives you the courage to put on that shirt and people are going to ask you questions about you starting fires. And instead of just being like, oh, it's a goofy youth group thing, you say, let me tell you why. Because we believe that the Holy Spirit could start a fire in your heart. I believe in a God who's powerful. Let me tell you about him. That's a scary conversation to have. But when the gospel's real in your heart, you know how it changes you? It gives you courage the way it did to Paul. And hopefully it's giving you courage, not just the shirt. Something way more powerful than that We Start Fire shirt. The Holy Spirit of God in you, living inside of you with endless power to help you have that conversation. He says this next. He says, but I am not ashamed. Now listen, for Paul in this situation, dude, this guy should have been ashamed. Like, these dudes who were his quote unquote friends and colleagues, these other Pharisees, when they found out he went from being one of the head Pharisees to being a church planter, do you know the ridicule and the mockery that they threw at him? Do you know how much hate he caught from being like, I love Jesus? And they were like, seriously, you're one of those crazy lunatics now? We're going to have to drag you to a pit and start throwing rocks at you? Like, you're now that guy that we've been persecuting, Paul? How could you do that? Do you know that of everyone, Paul had probably the most reason to be ashamed of this gospel? It wasn't conducive to his life. Like, that's not how he was living. It didn't fit. And yet he still had the courage, because the gospel gives you courage to still do it. So it doesn't just give you courage. You know what else it gives you? Here's how the gospel changes you. It gives you boldness. So not only does it give you courage, but it changes you and gives you boldness to say, I'm not ashamed. You might be living in circles right now of friends that are going to be really shocked when you're like, hey, I'm a Christian. They'll be like, you? Seriously, you weren't living that way. You went to that party with me like not too long ago. You were joking this certain way with me earlier. Like, you were using those words and drinking that and doing this and looking at that with me. Like, so how are you coming to me now and saying you're a Christian? Are you a crazy lunatic like those guys over at Firehouse? That might be your experience if you tell your group of friends that you believe in Jesus. It might not be conducive to your life, but you know what? Paul, the guy who's writing it, he's right there with you. It wasn't conducive to his life. His friends weren't buying it. And yours might not either. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't change. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have the boldness to say, I'm not embarrassed. Say what you want. Jesus is changing me, and you're going to see a difference because he's changing me. My life is going to change. The power of God's inside of me. Just watch. Jesus will give you boldness if you say yes when he speaks. If you obey what he says, that little step of faith. You know why? Because the gospel shakes all the shame out. It's such good news. It's like, I don't care about being embarrassed anymore about this. It's too good of news to hold in. I gotta tell people, this is too great. This literal news is going to tell people that they can go to heaven forever instead of hell. That's someone's soul. That's someone's eternity, that you are standing there in that moment to step in the gap for them and help them make the right choice. Help them meet their God, their Savior Jesus. Will you have the boldness? As that power of the gospel sits in you, it eats away that shame, and it causes you to be bold, to have courage, and to be bold. You know what else it does? Look at what he says next. For I know whom I have believed. Paul knew the power of God. He experienced it when he was walking down that road, and all of a sudden, this crazy light blinds him and sends him to the ground on his face, and Jesus starts to talk to him in this booming voice from heaven, and he has this like encounter with Christ. He's like, why are you persecuting me? He's like, who are you? Like, I'm persecuting Christians. And he's like, exactly. That's me. That's my body. Those are my people. Why are you persecuting me? And in that moment, Paul turns his life to Christ. It was powerful, and it changed him. Turned his life around. It's because he felt the presence of Jesus. It wasn't just a head knowledge. He didn't just heard some cool story that made him cry. He was literally in the presence of Jesus. Have you ever been sitting in the presence of Jesus? I mean, his presence is here tonight. He's in this room where two or three people that believe in him are gathered together. He's there. So he's here tonight. Do you acknowledge that? Right now, he's in the room. He's with us. He's hearing what we're talking about. He's listening to your thoughts right now that are going through your head. Paul experienced being in the presence of Jesus, and he knew how powerful he was, and he knew this gospel was so massive, it made him give up his old life and follow Jesus. And it wasn't just because he was a Pharisee and had a lot of knowledge. It was because he had experienced Christ. Here's how another way the gospel changes you, right? It gives you courage, it gives you boldness, but the gospel also gives you faith. It causes you to believe, and not just in words and like things that I could teach you. I'm going to put this stuff on the screen, memorize it, and go away. You won't be different. You'll have memorized a couple verses. That's awesome to do, but that doesn't change you by itself. He's not talking just about what he knew, right? The power of the gospel is not just knowing what you believe, but it's in knowing the one that you're believing in. He met Jesus on that road. He didn't just hear about Jesus. He didn't just learn things in Sunday school and memorize it like it's some history class. He met Jesus Christ himself. Have you ever met Jesus? For some of you guys, you might be sitting here and this is rocking your world because you're like, wait a minute, like my whole Christianity has been based on when I was in VBS in third grade and I heard some things about Jesus and I knew about him and I prayed a prayer. But I never actually met him. Never actually like had this heart experience with Christ where he changed me. Where I knew I was in his presence. Where I knew I was a sinner and I repented because I believed he was real. There was never that moment. It was more of a head knowledge thing I did. But Paul didn't just do that. Paul was changed. He was given faith. Faith only comes from knowing the person of Jesus, not just knowing about him. But really knowing him, having that moment where he grabs your heart and he's like, I'm real and I'm here and I want to save you. And you're like, I can't resist this. I need you. I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Jesus, if you don't change me and save me, I have no hope. And that moment that you really meet him and you get to see him face to face in that way, the gospel gives you faith. This good news causes you to believe in him. Not just in stuff about him, but in the person of who Jesus is, this person. And it causes you to have faith. That's how it changes you. That's how it will change the people that you talk to, that you share this good news with. That's what's going to go on in their hearts. That's why we baptize people, to represent the picture of that, that it's not just knowledge, but you're literally dying. Your old self, because you've met Jesus. You're being immersed into him and who he is, like this relationship that takes place, not just like this time that you spend like a classroom. I'm going to spend 15 minutes every day just doing this little class thing, study with Jesus, but I'm going to spend this time every day walking with him. Literally just holding his hand and being like, God, take me through the day. Like, let's go. I can't wait to walk with you today. I can't wait for you to teach me stuff today. I can't wait to see who you're going to have me talk to and watch you do miracles and do stuff in people's hearts and let me make mistakes and you're going to pick me back up. And you're going to help me walk and you're going to help me learn. Because it's a relationship and not just a bunch of knowledge that you have. You know that one who saved you, Jesus Christ. The gospel changes you by giving you faith. And Paul says this, because of all that, and because he has this faith, he says, I am convinced. See, it wasn't just head knowledge. When you're convinced, this is something that happens in your heart, not just your mind. Are you convinced? Nothing's going to change your mind about Jesus. Like, you were convinced about the goodness of Christ. About the goodness of the news that is the gospel. Like, I'm convinced there's no better news than Jesus. You can't change my mind. Jesus is the greatest news I'll ever hear for the rest of eternity. His name is the greatest name I'm ever going to hear. You know why you're not going to change my mind? Because I was going to go to hell forever. And now I'm not. He's loved me, he's forgiven me, he saved me, and he's sending me to heaven forever with him. You're not changing my mind. This is the greatest news I've ever heard, y'all. I'm convinced of that. And I wonder if you're convinced of that tonight. Do you really believe it? Is it really the greatest thing you've ever heard? We're in week, like, I don't even know what week. We're in week 5, I think, of this t-shirt thing. And hopefully you guys have been wearing it at least once a week and talking with your life groups about your experiences. And I just wonder if it's changing you. I wonder if when you put it on, if you're able to walk out there and be like, I'm convinced that this is the greatest thing I could do with my life. There's no greater purpose for me. Like, whatever you have planned for your life, what you're going to be, you're like, I'm going to be this lawyer. I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to go out there and like get all this justice for people, or I'm going to be a doctor and heal kids and whatever, like really noble things that you have in mind. They could be really awesome. I'm not saying they're not, but they will never compare, even remotely compare, to the gospel in your life. That's your greatest goal. That is the best thing that could ever happen to you. It's the best thing you could ever do with your life. There is no better purpose than you going out there and being like, hey, you're on your way to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to know the same Savior that I have so you can know Jesus and go to heaven for eternity. There's nothing greater than that. You have no greater purpose. Go to college, get like 5.0s if that's even possible. Like, be the greatest thing you can possibly be. Reach all of your potential, but don't miss out on this. The greatest thing you will ever do is share the good news of Jesus Christ. There's no greater purpose. You were designed to bring glory to God, and that's what sharing the good news does. Paul says, I'm convinced of it. I hope you are too. He says, I am convinced. And so he says that he is able, like he's turning our eyes to the Lord and what he can do. Here's why Paul can be convinced, right? God is able. He's all powerful. There are no limits. And so this inspires the faith and the courage and the boldness in your heart that we just talked about, that the gospel does for you, how it changes you, because God's able. There's nothing God can't do. It doesn't depend on you and your talents and your speaking ability and your like charisma and personality and your joke telling. It doesn't depend on that. You could be like Moses and be scared to death to talk to people. And God will come along and say, it's me doing it. It doesn't depend on you. That faith that he wants to put in your heart is what causes you to go, God, you are able. And so let's do this. I'm scared. I'll just be honest with you. But I know that it doesn't depend on me. It depends on you. So he says that he is able and God is. And here's what he's able to do: to guard. Just look at that word there, guard. Paul highlights that God's unmatched power and ability, right? It's put to use by guarding what's inside of you. So God's infinite power is like focused on this, on saying, hey, Cameron, I'm looking in your heart, man, and I put a calling and a gifting in you and a passion. I started this fire in you, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my infinite power to protect that in you, to guard it in you, to keep the discouragement and the shame and the embarrassment and the doubt and all these things. I'm going to protect you from those arrows that Satan's sending at you. And I'm going to say, you can do this, man. Don't give up. Even when people look at you and laugh, even when atheists look back and go, you're insane. You don't believe in science. Like, are you crazy? Putting that faith in you. He's in charge of it. So you can keep going. Paul is convinced that God's able to guard that in us. He says, until that day. You know what's beautiful about that? Those three words, those three very simple, almost meaningless words by themselves, is that when you put it in context, there's so much meaning. God's able to do that until that day. You know what that means? God won't stop until it's finished. He's faithful. You don't have some God like the Greeks used to think of gods who were mean and just ludicrous. Like they didn't care. You have a God who says, if I made the promise, I'm keeping it. You can always trust me. You can always depend on me. God makes promises and he keeps them. And he's going to guard that in you, that flame in you, until it's complete. He will keep his promise. And you can trust him. Until that day, what has been entrusted to me, that's what Paul believed. This, what he's guarding there until that day is the thing that God has entrusted to Paul? Do you know that God has entrusted something to each of you if you've believed on Christ? He's given you a gift. And you're all gifted in different ways. He's given you mixes of different gifts and made you beautifully different and unique so that you guys could come together like we are tonight and become this like complete body. Each of you doing different things on purpose so that together we can go into our community and our schools and we can be the full body of Jesus and we can minister to people in so many different ways. We can reach so many different people. I will know people that you don't, and you'll be able to reach people that I can't, and God's good with that. He made us that way with our giftings. And he's given us a gifting, he's given us faith, and most importantly, the Holy Spirit. And so what he's entrusted us with, this mission to go out and to share this good news, God says, I'm in charge of it. Don't worry, don't fear, don't be embarrassed, don't be discouraged, but have faith and courage and boldness and go out and tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. God's already said it. I keep telling you to listen for God's voice. I keep saying that over and over, right? Like, that's our thing here. This is something God's already said. Have you heard it? We're not waiting to hear this. He says it right here in the passage. You've been entrusted with that. He's called you to share the good news. He's already said it. So now it's your choice. Will you go, okay, God, yes, I'll obey. Or in this moment where you can make the choice, will you say no? Will you ignore God and be like, nah? I pray that you would obey God's voice because he's already spoken. You'd say yes. That you would keep putting that shirt on or not. It doesn't even matter at this point. Just share the gospel. It's so much better than a shirt. Just go tell people. There are people in your lives. You might be sitting there and you're like, I don't know. I don't even know who I'd talk to still. Talk about it with your life group tonight. Use that time to think through it, to pray through it, to ask God to put names in your heart of people he wants you to talk to. And then when he does, don't blow it off. All right, man, that's happening this week. I'm going to have this conversation. I'm going to share my faith with him. I'm going to tell him my story about how good my God is. I'm going to do it. It's scary, but he's going to eat through the shame and the doubt. His power is going to come pouring out of me because I believe what he says here. He always keeps his promises. Will you say yes to Jesus? Let God make changes in you, y'all. As we go through these next couple weeks, and really what I'm asking you is, say yes for the rest of your life. Not just for 3 more weeks of our t-shirt thing, but develop a life that says, God, I'm always going to say yes. That's who you are. You're that good. And as that gospel sits in you, that good news, as you realize there's nothing greater than that, will you realize that it's worth it? Nothing's holding me back. Nothing's stopping me from sharing this with other people. Say yes, even when it's scary, so that you become more and more like Jesus every time you take that scary step. Every time you tiptoe out and say, Lord, I'm scared, but I'm trusting you. Take the guilt and the shame and the doubt. Take all that. I'm taking this step. And when you do, and when you place that faith in Jesus, you're going to look that much more like Jesus every time you do that. Because the gospel changes you. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? So some of you guys are listening to this tonight, and the Holy Spirit is, like we already said, he's here. He's in the room. His presence is with us right now. And you're feeling it, and you know, because he's talking to you, and you're hearing his voice so loud and clear. And maybe up to this point, you have just kept blowing him off. And tonight, you're like, I'm done doing that. Tonight, I'm going to say yes to Jesus. Whatever he's calling me to do, yes, I'm tired of holding back. I want to start some fires. That's you tonight. You're like, yes, Rob, I believe in Jesus. I trusted him. I'm saved. I know him. But I've been ignoring. And tonight, I'm done. I'm going to say yes to Jesus, whatever he calls me to do. I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to step out. If that's you tonight and you just want some prayer, I want to spend my week praying for you this week. Can you just raise your hands up and say, pray for me? Put me on that list. I want to be prayed for. Yeah, that's awesome. I see you guys over there. Anybody else? Pray for me. I want to be bold. Yeah. I'm going to pray for you guys in just a second. But I want to ask one more thing. There's somebody here tonight and you've never met this Jesus we just talked about for the last 20 minutes. This good news is about him, right? That he died and he rose again. And when he did that, he forgave your sins if you trusted him. But you haven't done that yet. You haven't asked him to forgive you yet. And tonight you're like, I want to be forgiven. I want that Christ, but I haven't done it yet. Would you do me a favor? I want to pray for you too. Could you just raise your hand up and just say, honestly, like, that's me and I want to know Christ. I want to be saved and forgiven. Rob, tonight, would you just pray for me? Just slip your hand up in the air. I want to be able to put you on my list and pray for you this week too. Awesome. Father God, thank you so much that we can open a passage like this and see the words of someone who's lived before us. God, a man like the Apostle Paul, whose life was completely radically changed because you're so good. You saw the hands. You saw all the students in this room and us leaders who were saying, God, we want that. We want the boldness and the courage and the faith that you promise as the gospel changes us and makes us more like you. Will you do that in their hearts? Father, they're asking, will you honor that? You say you keep your promises. You're always faithful, so we're asking for that now. Father, this week, give us opportunities to share our faith, that we see students, friends, peers, family that come to know Jesus because we have the courage to do what was scary and to have a conversation we weren't sure we wanted to have. Do that in them. God, they're raising their hand because they want that. Will you honor that? Will you allow us to come back next week and be able to celebrate the awesome work and miracles that you're doing through these students who said yes to you? We love you. Bless all of us this week. Give us opportunities to just say yes over and over. Father, let your name be glorified above everything that we do. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.